Hi, we're glad you've tuned in to Throwback Thursday as we look at Revelation, part of chapter 5 and getting into chapter 6. This was one of the podcasts that people enjoyed the most, so we're bringing it back in Throwback Thursday. Hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to the School of Ministry podcast. Paul is your Bible teacher today. If you have questions you would like addressed, let us know. Maybe you have a need in your life and want to know how the Bible gives answers that apply to us today. Feel free to contact us. Now enjoy the lesson.
Revelation chapter 5. We're going to get into Revelation chapter 6 because today we're talking about the seven seals. But as we talk about the seven trumpets of God, the seven vials or seven bowls, as we talk about the woes, there are three woes, we're going to be putting all of those things in this seven-year timeline. We got the seven-year timeline from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. And there he tells us there were 490 years for Israel's judgment, and 483 of those years have already passed. There is just a one seven-year section that is still future. And so that is divided into two parts, 2 3.5-year sections. If you remember, as we've gone through the book of Revelation, remember in chapter 1 we saw John's vision of the triune God. The Father sitting on the throne, the Son as that great high priest. We saw the Holy Spirit in the seven spirits of God. In chapters 2 and 3, we saw Jesus among his churches, and he had a message for each one of those churches, and we saw Satan's strategy to bring the Lord's churches down. It's chapter 4, chapter 5. John's further vision is that of an open door and the throne of God. And in this place where the throne of God, we saw that it was in the temple of God. And we understand that the earthly temple, which was made in Israel, in Jerusalem, it was made after the pattern of the heavenly temple. And Jesus is our high priest. We see him working in that. We see the 24 elders that are in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 as representing the 24 division of priests that were in the Old Testament. But we now see much more because we see the crystal platform which God's throne sat upon, and that beautiful diamond shimmering and the ruby red that was shimmering through the golden rainbow, the golden or emerald rainbow, the lightning and the thunder. But only the Lamb of God is recognized in chapter 5. We see God the Father, but we see how the Lamb of God is going to be exalted, lifted up, and we see him on high. If you look in chapter 5, verse 1 and through 3, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Let's stop right there. We have now God moving from a very patient position that we saw in chapter 4 of him sitting on the throne. And now he begins to move. He begins to do something. And we see the Father in human terms. Anthropomorphic is the term. If you look also in verses 6 and 7, it says in chapter 5, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." So in Revelation chapter 5, we see God the Father being shown as a man. If you see in verse 1 in your Bible, it will say, "And I saw in the right hand," you'll see the word "hand" is in italics. That's because it's not there. It is there in chapter 7. And so translators have put that in there so that we could understand that this is showing God in ways that we understand. And he has a scroll in his hand and he's handing it to Christ. And it is written on the inside and on the outside. Now, the Jews, when they had scrolls and they had witnesses, you had to have three witnesses and three seals. Whenever you did a land transfer, you had to have three witnesses, three seals. And they were written on a scroll. That was before the codex. And codex is just a little fancy term for a book. It was where the pages had been cut and had been bound together in some way. So we have books or codexes where the Old Testament, and at this time, they had a scroll. And usually the scroll would be rolled from one side to another, or you could roll it back. Some scrolls were, especially during the Middle Ages, they went from top to bottom. However, the Jews and the Hebrews, theirs were side to side, and you would read opposite of the way that we read, rather than from left to right, there's right to left. So, having said that, we see that this scroll is something very different. The Romans, by the way, used seven seals on their wills and other certain documents. And as the scroll was rolled up, they would seal the edge, and it would be repeatedly sealed until it was finally completely closed. On the outside of that scroll would be a brief description of what that scroll contained, what was inside. But it was sealed on the edge so that no one that was unauthorized could look into it. They couldn't check in. They couldn't see it. Remember when we started in chapter 1, I said that this is the will of the Father toward the Son, giving all that the Son has coming to him. It is the last will and testament, if you would. It is showing that now, giving this to Christ, all of the things that are coming to him. And so the Father is moving on the throne, and he begins to hand to the Son, the Lamb having been slain, as we just read, as it was a Lamb having been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. That's usually, the seven spirits of God is usually a representation of the Holy Spirit at this point. Well, when Daniel and Ezekiel saw the vision of God, they were told not to write those things. Some of the visions and some of the prophecies of the men of the Old Testament, maybe they did not know what it meant. They didn't know the fullness of it. Or they were told, don't write that. But John sees it. And he writes it. Because one of the things I want you to look at and pay attention to, like we just saw in chapter 5 and verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand." And he will say, "And I looked. I saw this. This is what I looked and saw." And so that is a theme that's repeated, and we see that because John is there, he is able to stand outside of time's dimension that we are in and able to see exactly what transpires. So he is lifted out, even though he's still in the time continuum when which he wrote in 96 AD, but now he's able to look and see what is still future in our time. And as far as John was concerned, he was right there. He was taking part. It was happening. He knew exactly all that was going to take place. Well, this scroll is the title deed for heaven and earth. It's given to Jesus. The entire universe will bow and worship the Lamb. And who wants to take over the world? That's where we get into chapter 6. Who wants this world? Well, in human terms, you might think of many others that have wanted to be the world ruler. I sometimes joke and say, well, when they make me the emperor of the world, I'll fix everything. However, we're going to see one today who means it. We're going to see one today who means that he wants to be the world ruler. You can think of Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament. And he had a great kingdom, a strong kingdom. And he wanted to be the world ruler. And then after that, Darius came on the scene. And he, of course, wanted to be the great ruler. And then Alexander the Great. And then we had certain Caesars. And what about Genghis Khan? Or Napoleon? How about Adolf Hitler? Stalin? All of these have had a desire to be the world ruler, the take over everything. But what about the devil? The devil wants to usurp God, and he wants to be the ultimate monarch of this world. He is now called the God of this world, but he wants to have the whole thing himself, because when Christ died, it says that he went and he got the keys of hell and of death, and they're now in his hand. He has the authority over that. He has all of those things. Well, before all of this, we might just remember, and before we get into chapter 6 and begin looking in verse 1 and 2, I want to remind you what Jesus said when he was asked the question, "What shall be the sign of your coming? When shall we know that you are returning?" Remember, he said, "The world will be in travail as a woman in birth." Let me just kind of put it like this. So Jesus called it the birth pangs. What happens when a woman is about to give birth? Those contractions start a little sooner and a little sooner. And they get a little stronger. And the closer to the birthing of the child, it gets stronger and the contractions are closer together. Let me tell you that that's where we are today. Things are happening that Jesus said would happen. There's violence, as it was in the days of Noah. I remember I was a young man when I think it was the University of Texas, someone climbed up in the tower and began shooting randomly. Maybe you remember that. Some of you are too young. Thank God. But you do remember Columbine. You do remember shootings of the Amish school. You do remember shootings recently in Walmart. You remember shootings. Well, I remember when there was a shooting up here in Stockton. Nobody had ever thought of shooting up schools. These are all in my adult days. And now it seems like we're hearing of shootings and random violence happening more and more. It seems like sometimes it was almost week after week. What about 9/11? What about all of these other things that we've seen in El Paso and all of the different things that have been taking place? Why? Because the birth pangs are getting shorter and shorter and stronger and stronger, that we're seeing the coming of the Lord. Violence as it was in the days of Noah, because in the days of Noah that was thought that mankind's thoughts were only evil continually. What about earthquakes? We're going to see in more and more earthquakes. We're going to see them get of stronger intensity and happen quicker. What about famines, disease, pestilence? You know, it's only been in my adult life, and I'm old, but I'm not that old. Thank you, brother. But I've seen SARS come on the scene, AIDS, HIV, hepatitis, Ebola. When I was a child, I never heard of any of these things. Now we have flesh-eating bacteria. What's happening? And this is just in my short lifetime. We're not even getting into some of the other... We'll talk about some of the other pestilence, too. Because there are wars and all of these things that it just seems like those birth pangs, it's happening more and more, becoming stronger and stronger. And we see violence where now... We're catching it on film where, you know, this gang's shooting at that gang and people are getting shot in the middle. And it's going to happen more and more and get stronger and stronger. But now let's look in chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 1 and 2. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." We're going to stop right there. Because here in Revelation chapter 6, when I saw the Lamb open the seals, we know that it is only Christ who is able to open this, and we see that He is in control all the way through. I heard one of the four living creatures. Now, we've talked about the four living creatures, and I don't think I did a good job explaining last week that these creatures have four faces. When you look in the book of Ezekiel, you see they have the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, calf, eagle, lion. There we go. The last one was a lion. And that they have six wings so they can go any direction. And they're able to move without having to turn and go this way and that way. We talked about the 24 elders, and we see that here, right in the midst of God's throne, this strong angel, this angel comes and yells, "Come and see." Now, this is different from the angel in chapter 5 that is referred to as the strong angel. As it said in verse 2 of chapter 5, it says, "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." That angel, if you look in the book of Ezekiel, we're not going to go back there, is the angel Gabriel. And so we know Gabriel has a place, and he's standing there around the throne. And we have the four living creatures standing around the throne. We have the 24 elders around the throne. And then we're going to see a great multitude around the throne of God. But now we have one who wants to take the place of Jesus Christ. He comes looking like the real thing. He is riding on a white horse. And after all, one of the four living creatures said, "Come and see! Come and see!" And notice what happens. John, "I looked, and behold." The word "behold" is, "I was amazed. I saw this rider on the white horse, and I was amazed at it." And oh, a white horse. "And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him." He didn't take this crown. It was given him. "He is going forth, and this voice has power, authority, and he's showing the Antichrist." He looks like the real Christ, because we know that Christ is coming one day on the white horse. He is coming, and he is going to show himself as the great king. But here, this is a false Christ. This is one who comes in, he has a bow and no arrows. He's coming in and looking like the real thing. And when the world begins to think, oh, peace and safety. Because after all, he has a bow. It looks like he's going to come in. And by the way, a crown is given him. He doesn't take it. He doesn't have any arrows. He goes forth conquering and to conquer, the scripture says. Well, conquest can often be made other than in a military sense. You can conquer a country, they may just submit. Remember when Adolf Hitler was moving through Europe? There was sometimes very little resistance as he took various nations, and sometimes they just said, "You're too strong, we'll just take us." That's what appears to be happening here. This Antichrist comes in and he has such strength, he has so many things going behind him that he is able to just come in and have the peace and safety that he's promising. Oh, come in. I won't do any harm. All will be well. We see that he makes a pact with Israel for 7 years. And in that middle of the 7 years, after 3.5 years, he breaks that pact. And that's important. And so we see that in our timeline. You see that where I've given that to you. Now, many preachers believe, and it could be so, that the seven seals go like hammer-like blows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the seventh are the seven trumpets. And again, hammer-like blows. Trumpet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then the bowls. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But I think we're going to see something because of the way that the Hebrews wrote, that a scene is going to be introduced, and then we're going to come back and understand more of it. It's going to be explained to us in a little fuller way. And so when you see on your timeline as we develop this, I think you will see that. It's not going to be that the sun is darkened and then we get sunlight and then it's darkened again, then it's sunlight again and dark. I think it's all talking about one instance, because as we're going to see, it's going to be rolled up. We'll see that as we get through the sixth seal today. Well, in Daniel chapter 9 talks about how the Antichrist is going to come in and talk about peace and safety, but he wears out the saints. He wears out the saints for 3.5 years. When everybody thinks, oh, all the kingdoms and all the nations, they submit to his rule and the prosperity that he has promised. And for a while he delivers. For a little while he delivers. I believe that this Antichrist is going to have some Jewish roots. Going to have some lineage. And this is just Hirth theology. Understand that. My last name's Hirth. That's just my ideas. So this is my theology. I think he's going to have Jewish roots. I believe he's going to be a Muslim. And I believe he is going to unite all of the Muslim sects. The Shia, the Sunni, the Sufis, the Wahhabi. There he's going to bring all of these, the Nation of Islam here in the United States. He's going to be able to bring all of those together. Some commentators say, because in the book of Ezekiel it talks about the Antichrist, that he knows no woman. And they say that possibly he is a homosexual. But think about all that's happening around the Mediterranean today. There are refugees fleeing Libya, fleeing North Africa, fleeing Syria. What are they doing? They're filing into Europe. They're moving into Europe, and Europe is quickly becoming Muslim. As now they have Muslim people taking places in government. And so this Antichrist, I believe, is going to come out of the European Union, and he is going to bring together such a strong coalition that now Europe thinks, oh, we have peace and safety. Instead of all of the unrest and all of the different things, and people are being brought in. And after all, this Antichrist is going to have all of the answers. People are going to trust him. They're going to believe him. They're going to flock to him. Beware, because most of the world that you know will be deceived. People that you know right now may be deceived and tricked and believe that. But look what happens. And that's why we know, because we've read the book. We're not caught by surprise. We understand these things.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed the message. We trust you have been encouraged, challenged, or generally built up spiritually. If this lesson has sparked questions, or perhaps you have questions of a different topic, let us know. Our information is given on the website, or you can reach us at sclofministry@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.